a very interesting Ramban surrounding a very mysterious marriage. Moshe's birth is obviously a crucial event. It signals, unbeknownst to many, the start of redemption. There's an irregular arc that his life follows. At 3 months, there's a crisis which is resolved in a very unexpected and unpredictable fashion by his being relocated into the house of Parah. But how was he born? So on the one hand, the Torah pays special attention and describes a marriage of his parents. On the other hand, the details are shrouded in anonymity. Vayelech ish mi beis Levi, vayikach es bas Levi. A Levite man marries a Levite woman, and together they give birth to this child that eventually is called Moshe. Not even referred to Moshe by his parents, just by this Egyptian princess who recovers him from the Nile River, from the Yaar. What exactly is this marriage that the Torah is referring to? Now, we all know the well-known Medrash that in light of Paro's brutal gzerah, his brutal decree of flinging Jewish babies into the Yaar, Amram, Moshe's mother, Moshe's father, divorces Yocheved, Moshe's mother. Miriam intercedes, chides her father as being in some ways worse than Paro, because Paro only decreed about males, and effectively her father is shutting down all reproduction by divorcing his wife and setting a bad example for others. Based on his daughter's intervention, Amram remarries Yocheved, not sure whether they became divorced legally or separated, whatever that meant in those days. So, Vayikach, Vayelech Ishmi Beis Levi, Vayikach Es Beis Levi, Chazal say he followed his daughter's advice. Halach Batsas Bita, Batsas Miriam. Of course, the Ramban believes that there's a level of meaning that's more literal that can be read without this backstory. So what is the story, and why is it described in both anonymous terms but dramatic terms? On the one hand, the names aren't provided. On the other hand, there's a preface or a prefix, Vayelech Ishmi Beis Levi. He walks and he goes, Vayikach Es Bas Levi. So one has to try to find that spot right in the middle that explains and justifies the prefix, but also justifies the lack of details, anonymity. So as far as the pretext is concerned, the Ramban develops a very interesting concept that any time a human being takes a bold, defiant decision, unconcerned with legal, cultural, social norms that may militate against that decision, may oppose that decision, that decision is cast as vayelech. Anything bold, anything new, anything different, and of course it could be bold, new, and different in a way that's criminal. So when Yehuda suggests to sell Yosef, he says, lechuvenim krena leishmeilim. Let's make this decision and sell our own flesh and blood. But anything that's different from the expected or different than the norm or what we'd call takes initiative is described as vayelech, which is interesting because we would see vayelech as referring to walking. And when we walk, we move from place to place. And when we make new decisions, we also change our reality, and we should have that aim and confidence that we can make those changes just like we can walk. In some ways, it captures the challenge of bold initiatives. In some ways, it gives us the confidence to take bold initiatives because, well, we walk and we're defined as walkers as part of our essence, and walking is totally natural and indigenous to healthy human activity. So if we just overlay the metaphor of walking onto bold decision-making, then bold decision-making should be something that's commonplace rather than rare and almost seem to be impossible or insurmountable. So in defiance of Paro's gezerah, Yocheved is married to Amram, and therefore it's prefaced by the term Vayelech Ish. Now the second part of his question is, well, why does the Torah not provide any details? And his answer is very pragmatic, because the primary purpose of this section is to highlight Moshe's birth. And providing too many details about his parents would require the type of lineage and description of families that right now would obfuscate and obscure the importance of Moshe's birth. Right now there's a narrative to tell, and that surrounds a baby being born. And there's time to establish pedigree and lineage later on, Parshas Bo, at least the lineage of Moshe is described. I'm sorry, Parshas Ve'era, excuse me. And what the Ramban doesn't mention, which is also intriguing, and I would add this, since I think the spirit of what the Ramban is saying, is since so much of this is focused on Moshe's birth, and this is such a defiant decision, too much information would frame this bold decision as the work of great people, because Yocheved is certainly a leader. She's Bas Levi. She's already, according to Chazal, been shown her defiance well before her own child is born by defying Paro's will. Amram, we don't know much about Amram, but he's certainly a part of Bas Levi, and perhaps had that special nobleman status that the Levim were afforded in Mitzrayim. They kept performing Bris Milah and other clemency issues that they enjoyed, clemency privileges. And the Torah doesn't want to marginalize the decision as if it was taken by great people of vision who were able to defy Paro, or people that were slated for greatness or slated for glory. They're just average people who just make a morally sound decision not to be intimidated by a thug or by a tyrant. So the suppression of their identity doesn't only highlight Moshe as the sole possessor of this biblical stage, but it also renders this heroism as the opportunity for every man, not just for the Amrams and Yocheved, the preordained or the pre-established leaders and visionaries. That's how the Ramban explains, on the one hand, the preface of Vayelech, and on the other hand, the anonymity of his parents. Now, when did this happen? According to this reading, it happens after the decree. And the Ramban is a little uncomfortable with that. So then he reconsiders and he says, Al Derech HaPshat, none of this. Of course, if the Pshat is correct, then this is their first marriage. And then the Ramban says this first marriage may have even occurred before Paro's Gzera. So the defiance wasn't necessarily in getting married, but the defiance was in having that child. And the Ramban suggests that Aaron and Miriam were born well before the decree about throwing children into the Nile. Couldn't have been too much before, because Aaron was not that much older than Moshe, but certainly Miriam was born well before. And in that case, the defiance is not the decision to marry, but the decision to have children or have that third child. Now, what's also interesting about this Ramban is he quotes an Ibn Ezra. And the Ibn Ezra says that the word Vayelech doesn't mean, or at least on the surface, doesn't refer to any heroic decision, any bold initiative. He just travels from one town to another. The literal meaning of Vayelech Ishmi Beis Levi Veikachas Bas Levi. And the Ramban asks an interesting question. If that were true, and Vayelech just referred to traveling from one town to another, why would the Torah record it? Why would we need that back information that seems to be irrelevant? And I think an answer for the Ibn Ezra may be that slaves are dismembered socially and communally. And if they get married, which is itself strange, but even if they do get married, they're apt to marry based on a range of different factors, probably the most important of which is convenience, and the most important of that being proximity. They don't have travel, they don't make selections in the same way that Free men make selections sometimes based on romance, compatibility, family, finances, but they would just marry, they wouldn't have the time to predicate their decision based on all these other factors. It would just be proximate. And the fact that there are people who are still making these choices and finding their wives and finding their spouses based on factors other than proximity and traveling to distant locations. And it's also interesting that this demonstrates that the Jews had proliferated past Goshen. They weren't still centered in that focused area of Goshen, and there were Jews in different towns, and Amram had to travel somewhere to find Yocheved. That's important information. That demonstrates that despite the hardships and despite the persecution, Jews were still functioning as quote-unquote a normal society as best as they could, and certainly within the marital context, their marriages were still the types of marriages that free men would initiate and conduct, not the marriages of backing into a marriage just based on proximity and convenience and location that slaves would normally opt for. And that would then be very important information and possibly an answer to the Ramban's question. So the Ramban's version of Vayelech is a metaphor to describe bold initiative. And this is a bold initiative either to get married after the decree or to continue to have a child, a third child, after the persecutions and the discriminatory decrees. For the Ibn Ezra, it's just about a man traveling to another town, and just the travel demonstrates healthy social marital behavior. Now, for the Ramban, the anonymity is technical because the Torah doesn't want to waste real estate and time and verbiage and direct attention, distract attention from Moshe. I think there's another factor that it takes this bold decision and universalizes it rather than marginalizes it for people that are erstwhile leaders.